Father, we just thank you right now for allowing us to be here this evening to sit under your anointing. We just pray and ask, God, that your holy angels would go to and fro to touch each and every person that came out here to hear your word tonight. We cover each and every person in the blood of Jesus. We just bind up and rebuke every assignment of the enemy. We thank you, Lord, that your holy angels are cleansing and sanctifying this place, that you may move freely, that your Holy Spirit has full rule and reign over everything that's done here tonight. And we just thank you and give you all honor and glory for what you're doing here, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're going to learn about God's sovereignty. There's been a lot of things going on in the atmosphere, a lot of things going on in our personal lives in the last weeks, months, and a lot of us are trying to figure out, you know, what exactly is going on, what's happening. And that's when the enemy comes in and tries to say, well, it's your fault, you did it. But let's take a look at a bigger picture of what's really going on in the atmosphere around us. So Pastor Barbara had shared with us an email that contained a 12-minute video from Katie Souza where she talked about that. And we felt that it would be interesting and informative to watch that video. So we're going to go ahead and listen to Katie Souza, what she has to say. Kind of lines up with the teaching a little bit also.
Hey, everybody, it's Katie Souza, and I'm live on Facebook right now because I want to tell you something. And it's something very important, and I think you're going to find this very interesting because I know many of you have been tormented over the last couple days, even the last couple weeks, like even maybe even a month or so. And you're thinking, what is happening? I mean, I've had lots of reports from friends of mine telling me that they've been tormented at night. They're having weird, gross, you know, terrible dreams. They're being attacked and assaulted in the middle of the night. They're having all kinds of horrible things happen. They're having difficulties at their work. They're having difficulties with their friends, with their family members. They're having disputes, fights, strife, lots of pressure on the soul. People are feeling a lot of pressure on the soul. The last 3 days has just been like mayhem, craziness. And people are like, what's going on? Well, I'll tell you what part of it is. And it's this. There's been a super moon. Halloween was just a little while ago, followed immediately by a super moon. So what's the big deal? You know that actually the planets and the position of the moon and the position of the planets can affect us. When there's a super moon and the moon is that close to Earth, there's a lot of witchcraft going on. There's a lot of spell casting going on. There's a lot of curses being released against God's people, okay? In the spirit realm, there's a lot of spirits that are attached to the moon. Okay, believe it or not, you're thinking, oh yeah, where is that in the Bible, Kate? Okay, it's in Matthew 17. Remember the story about Jesus coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration? And there was a little boy there and he was assaulted by a demon. He was controlled by this demon that would throw him into the water and into the fire and try to kill him. Okay, well, you know what the father, that boy's father said about his son? He said his son was moonstruck. Moonstruck. That word in the Greek is seleni maio. It means to be assaulted or controlled by a demon and to be affected by the moon. That's right. You see, there are gods and goddesses that are attached to the moon, to the different planets, and they're assaulting us just like they attacked that little boy. Okay, you might think this is crazy, but it's true. Think about it. What are all the planets named after? Roman and Greek gods and goddesses. Hello? Okay, the enemy has tried to hijack the universe, all right, to use it against us. Many times in Old Testament times, the stars and the planets were worshipped, and the gods that represented them were worshipped too. Those are actually demon gods, and we're wrestling against them, and we don't know it. Where's that in the Bible? Well, let me tell you. Okay, Ephesians 3. Okay, Ephesians 6. That classic scripture says that we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and rulers. Okay, what is that talking about there? If you look at that word rulers there, it's the word cosmokratos. Cosmokratos. It means the devil and his demons. But when you break that word cosmokratos down, it's cosmo and kratos. Cosmo, as in the cosmos, as in the stars, as in the planets. That's exactly what it means in the Greek. So it means the devil and his demons that are attached to the planets. There's moon gods and goddesses, and there's other demon gods and goddesses that are attached to the planets. And when the skies are in a certain position, when the planets are in certain courses, they try to use that against us. And that's why you've been kind of feeling like, whoa, what's going on for the past few days? Okay, but here's what we really need to understand. It's like, hey, God, you know what? God created the planets and the stars for us. And they actually fight for us. Okay, where's that in the Bible? Oh my gosh, okay. So let me tell you. Deuteronomy 4:19 says, God, I created the sun, the moon, the stars, not for you to worship, but as your heritage. What does that mean? Well, they are our heritage. Not only does the sun warm the earth and the moon controls the tidal oceans of the world, but they're for our heritage in the natural, but they're for our heritage in the supernatural. Look at examples in the scripture, okay? What happened in Isaiah 38? Wow, the whole city of Jerusalem is being assaulted by 185,000 Assyrians, and Hezekiah, who was king at that time, is going to die. Okay, and what happens? God comes and says, I got a supernatural sign that says that you're going to have 15 more years of life, Hezekiah, and you're going to win this battle against these Assyrians. Here's the sign. The sun's light will move 10 steps back on the sundial of Ahaz. Whoa. See, God was doing something cosmic there. He was doing what he said he would do in Deuteronomy 4:19, where he says, I, the Lord, created the sun, the moon, the stars as your heritage, not for you to worship, but as your heritage. See, right there, God was using the movement of the planets. Oh my gosh. He actually caused the planets to go into reverse, and he caused the sunlight to go backwards on the sundial of Ahaz. And what happened after that? Hezekiah is totally healed of the disease he's suffering from, and 185,000 Assyrians are killed. This is a big deal. See, that means that the very planets we're fighting for Hezekiah. See, the enemy's using the planets against us, like the moon, the super moon, and he's using that to release witchcraft and curses against us. But in reality, if we were to take a stand and say, you know what? God created the sun, the moon, the stars for us as our heritage. And we can start believing that the rotation of the planets, the very rotation of the cosmos, can be used to fight for us. It's so interesting because that day the sun went backwards 10 steps on the sundial of Ahaz. What does that mean? Sundial is a time clock. The sun went backwards on a time clock, on not any time clock, but the time clock, the sundial of Ahaz. Ahaz was Hezekiah's father. God was using the position of the planets to go backwards in time on Hezekiah's bloodline to heal him of that sickness. You can do the same thing. God's not going to do it right now in the natural. He's not going to rotate planets. I doubt it very much. I mean, nothing's impossible with God, okay? But you can go in the spirit realm where nothing is impossible. The spirit realm is the parent realm, okay? So you can go in the spirit and you can play that Isaiah 38 scripture over and over again and say, you know what, God, the planets are my heritage. The stars are my heritage. Go back in time on my sundial of my ancestor and wipe out everything in me, in my bloodline that's making me sick, that's making the enemy be able to attack me. You can do that in the spirit. And whatever happens to spirit, manifests in the natural, because the spirit realm is a superior realm to this. Okay, you know, so how do you do that? It's not that hard. Just play the word. The word will activate you into an encounter. Play that chapter on repeat, okay? And as you're going to sleep tonight, meditate on it, and God will take you into an encounter. He'll use the position of the planets. I don't know how he does it, but the Bible shows that he did it in that story. And he'll go backwards on your sundial of your ancestors and heal you of stuff, okay? I mean, it's throughout the whole Bible, okay? Look at this scripture. Watch. Oops, let's do the other one. Watch. Isaiah 40, listen to this. It says, look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after the other. He's saying that he created the stars and he brings them out like an army. What does an army do? It fights. It fights. You know, if you really put your faith on this stuff, you'll find out that the very cosmos can fight for you instead of the enemy using like the moon gods and the super moon to fight against you. It can fight for you. It says that he calls them out like an army. He created the stars and he calls them out like an army. You can believe this stuff because it's in the Bible. I mean, look at what happened in Joshua 10. What happened? Joshua's fighting against an army. And what does God do? He releases the army of the cosmos against that army that Joshua's fighting against. Joshua looked up and said, sun, stand still in the midst of heaven. Moon, over the valley of Ajalon. He commanded time to stand still. And what happened? It says that when he did that, it defeated all his enemies. That the sun stood still until Joshua took revenge on all his enemies. That is Deuteronomy 4:19. God using the sun, the moon, the stars, not for us to worship, but as our heritage. And right there it says in Isaiah 40 that he calls the stars by name. He calls them out like an army. They were acting like an army that day, the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon were acting like an army, defeating Joshua's enemies. It says that they stood still in the midst of the heavens until Joshua took revenge on all his enemies. You got to start putting your faith on big stuff like this. Instead of letting the moon harass you and the moon gods and make you totally tormented and putting you under sickness and trouble and disease, okay, maybe start decreeing that the sun, the moon, the stars are your heritage and they're working for you. Okay, and you can even activate into that Joshua 10 stuff. God's not going to, I doubt, he could do anything, but I doubt he's going to stop the sun in the middle of the sky. He could, okay? But I think it's more like you can do that in the spirit. You can go in the spirit realm and command the sun to stand still in the midst of heaven, okay? And then it says that it happened until Joshua took revenge on all his enemies. Well, that's what you'll do. You'll go in there and say, I command it to stand still until I take revenge on all my enemies, and then time will freeze in that moment. This sounds like craziness, but I do it all the time. And then you'll have like what God says, 1,000 years are like a day to him. You'll get more done in that one day because you knew how to stop time than you've ever gotten done. Thousands of years worth of stuff, thousands of enemies falling before you. Now, I'm taking a chance to come out here and say this stuff, but I'm telling you what, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Even in Judges 4 and 5, when it says when Deborah was fighting Barak and fighting with Barak against Sisera and his 900 iron chariots, they had kept them oppressed for 20 years. But you know what? One day, Deborah gets a word from the Lord. Go down to the Kishon and meet Sisera with his iron chariots down in the Kishon. And you know what happened? They won. Suddenly, the Kishon floods out of the blue. Wow, it floods and makes all those iron chariots useless. You know why it flooded? Actually, Deborah tells us in the next chapter in Judges 5, she says, the stars from their courses defeated Sisera by causing the Kishon to flood. Yeah. Just like the moon controls the tidal oceans of the world, the stars that day from their courses were fighting like an army, fighting to flood and make his chariots, Sisera's chariots, totally useless. God's lining stuff up for you. He's using the very universe to fight for you against your enemies. You know what? You ask God to show you what he's doing. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you insight. You activate into these truths. You go into the Spirit by playing the Word, playing these chapters over and over. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to play them and the Word. Bible talks about the Word having self-fulfilling power. It will propel you into an encounter in the Spirit where time will stop. You'll defeat all your enemies. Well, time will go back and you'll go back through your bloodline and be healed of curses and diseases and disorders of every kind. Where God will literally line up the planets and be using the planets for you, not against you. Just like he did in Judges when the stars from their courses defeated Sisera. Look, I'm teaching about this in detail in my December 8th and 9th conference. You need to go and check it out. You can go online and watch it. You can come in person, which is even better, and totally get the download, the revelation, see the miracles happening and everything else. I was healed of menopause. I was healed of menopause when I got broken free from a star god, one of those moon gods and sun goddesses that were trying to kill me. In fact, look at right there. See, you can see a tiny, tiny little lump right there. Well, about a week ago, it was about as big as a marble. Okay, like this, and it was hard as a rock and it hurt. Well, that was because the moon was supermooning and was doing curses and witchcraft. Well, I got rid of that and that thing just totally disappeared and I got no pain there and I got nothing there. I had eye problems this last week because of all these attacks from the witchcraft and the curses of the supermoon. But that eye completely healed. Check it out. Look at that. Ooh, right? I'm serious. These things are attacking you. They tried to kill that little boy that was being thrown into the fire, into the water, but Jesus totally delivered him of that moon god, okay? So don't let yourself get picked on anymore by these gods and goddesses that are over the planets, that all the planets are named after. Start decreeing Deuteronomy 4:19, the sun, the moon, the stars are not for you to worship, but as your heritage. Okay, check us out on Facebook, like this video, and share it, okay, so that people can understand the high-level things that God wants us all to know, amen? All right, love you guys, and I'll see you tomorrow, because I'm doing a live web stream tomorrow. All right. Yeah. See you then.
I didn't know all that. I had no idea all that was going on. So that was very, very helpful, very informative. Now we know how to pray. And maybe some of what we're going through will stop after we pray as she told us to. That's very nice. Okay. Now, learning about God's sovereignty. In the midst of our trials and sufferings, we sometimes lose sight of what God is doing with us. In this time frame, we are in a late hour. where we must get things together quickly because God is moving with or without us. Now, he's been telling us that for a while. Some of us in the body have little time to get many things in order, and the enemy is there to condemn us and influence us to quit. It is while we are in the furnace of change that the enemy speaks his lies louder than ever. You know, there's times that we're going through something really bad and the enemy is sitting there, oh, look, it's because you failed and you didn't do this right and you're condemned. And that's hard to fight through because you sometimes find yourself in a place of confusion. There's like a dark blanket that just covers you and smothers everything. So we're going to learn about how to get rid of that. It says, but we must take courage and find hope in the truth of God's sovereignty. There are few doctrines more despised by the carnal mind than the truth of God's sovereignty, the fact that God has full control over all things and either allows or denies everything before it can happen. Having a godly understanding of his sovereignty is healthy to the soul and helps achieve humility throughout our walk with God. Salvation is entirely God's work. If God chose who would be saved, and if his choice was settled before the foundation of the world, then believers can take no credit for their salvation. The faith itself that believes in Christ is not of our own will nor power. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace itself is also a gift from God, and it precedes the gift of faith. This is done that no man may boast. In other words, the fact that you even have faith is not credited to you. That faith that you have is a gift from God. God gave you the ability and the gift to believe. Now, if we believe that we can work to build up our faith by ourselves and our own understanding, in our souls, that we cannot boast in Christ alone. But if we understand that we have faith only because of the work of the Holy Spirit, that we can truly give God all the glory for our salvation. Now, throughout this teaching, this is going to chip away at different strategies the enemy's been using in our minds. Throughout this teaching, it's designed to bring us closer and closer to God, closer and closer to dependency upon him and him alone. So many times in the life of a newborn believer, we fall into a trap where we believe our works can get us further with God. This small seed grows into a large tree if left unchecked. And later in our Christian adulthood, we have mindsets and openings that the enemy infiltrates and uses against us. We find ourselves in pride, self-righteousness, judging others, and condemning the world, while we ourselves are truly on the outside looking in. The truth is that none of us ever found God in our lives. God came and found us in the middle of our unlovable, stingy mess. John chapter 6, verse 65 says, and he was saying, this is the reason why I have told you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him, that is, unless he is enabled to do so by the Father. The previous statement showed how no one comes to Jesus unless God first permits and grants them the opportunity to have Jesus revealed to them. Next, we learn that no one knows the Father except the Son, and only who the Son chooses to reveal him to. In Matthew 11:27, and no one fully knows and accurately understands the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son deliberately wills to reveal him. Here we have a display of God's sovereignty, that no one can come to Jesus unless God allows it, and that no one comes to God unless Jesus permits it. The encounters and miracles we come in contact with are purely out of grace and God's gift of faith. In no part of these does man's hand have anything to do with it. In fact, everything God has us do for him was planned out before the earth was ever made. In Ephesians 1:11, having been predestined, chosen, appointed beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his will. This scripture reveals a depth of God's character and nature to us. It says, him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and design of his will. That means everything that happens, good, bad, or indifferent, is worked together to come into agreement with God's will. In other words, God will take our mess and make the best out of a bad situation. Now in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. Now for those of us who love God, he is working on our behalf to cause all things to work together for our good and his glory. If you have loved ones that do not presently love God because of their deep bondage, here is hope. God does this also for those who are called by him according to his plan for their lives. God does not desire that the wicked should perish, and God does not cut off the sinner from his love. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord does not delay as though he were unable to act, and is not slow about his promise as some count slowness, but is extraordinarily patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. When Peter wrote that we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2, it says, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit. He was not using the word foreknowledge to mean that God was aware beforehand of who would believe and therefore choose them because of their foreseen faith. Peter meant that God determined before time began to know, love, and save them. God chose them without regard to anything good or bad they might do. These verses specifically show that God's sovereign choice is made according to the kind intention of his will. He did not choose to save sinners to be saved solely because of something praiseworthy in them, or because he foresaw that they would choose him. God declares the end from the beginning, saying in Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end as the result from the beginning, and from ancient times the things which have not yet been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. Now we need to think of this in terms of our current situations and present circumstances. Everything that we are going through has passed through the sovereign hands of God. There are times that we are going through severe trials in which we may not have exclusively done anything wrong to warrant our situations. In other words, you're going through a huge mess, but you didn't do anything wrong. Consider the following scripture in Job chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered and reflected on my servant Job? For there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God with reverence and abstains from and turns away from evil because he honors God. Right there, God's saying he's not doing anything wrong. Have you considered him? Job did nothing wrong, and God is the one who offered him up to Satan to prove Job's faithfulness to God in light of Satan's accusations. Perhaps you have been accused by the enemy, and God has allowed the situation in your life to test your faithfulness. God also has sovereignty over the hearts and spirits of men. In Exodus chapter 9, verse 12, but the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen or pay attention to them, just as the Lord had told Moses. God touched Pharaoh's heart and made it hard so as to fulfill the greater purposes of his plan. Pharaoh's purpose on this earth was to reveal the glory of God, just like Judas's purpose was to betray Jesus. It was just ordained that these things were going to happen, and these particular people were made just for that purpose. That's just how it is. You know, I thought sometimes, wouldn't that be something if Pharaoh was up in heaven and we were like, how did you get in here? God said, because he fulfilled my purpose. You know, he fulfilled his destiny. I mean, I'm not saying that's what's happened. I think that way sometimes. So anyways, it says someone had to do these things in order for God's will to be released into the world. Somebody had to do it. And God created a somebody for that purpose. In Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 30, but Sihon, king of Heshbon, was not willing for us to travel through his land, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate in order to hand him over to you as he is today. Now the context of that scripture is that God touched this king's heart and spirit to make him act rebellious and defiant, so that he would become an enemy of Israel and therefore be defeated in battle and handed over to them with the land that they occupied. Now, we can't use that as an excuse. Is it, well, God touched my heart and made me do all these things. Come on. That you're not in that scripture. That was King Sihon. All right. So this was a promise God gave and intended to bring it to pass. God made a promise to Israel and intended to bring that promise to pass. So by whatever means necessary that God saw fit, he was going to bring that promise to come to pass. We need to look at what God is doing in the big picture. Too often we are judging people for things they are going through or doing wrong, when truly they are in the hands of a loving, sovereign God. Sometimes bad things happen that are designed to bring about change or to influence us to make a good quality decision. In other words, don't look at somebody that's going through a mess and say, aha, what have you been doing wrong? Because that might not be what's going on. God's working with them. And you're in a dangerous place if you're doing that, because you're sitting there, oh, what are you doing wrong? I'm staying away from you. Or you're talking about them and you're not praying for them. Watch out, because God sees that and your turn's next. So we have to be very careful about that. All right, sometimes evil will be used to accomplish good. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present outcome, that many people would be kept alive as they are this day. If we only praise God and serve him when he's blessing us and prospering us, what credit is that to our love for him? It is entirely possible that we could be in the mess we are in simply to test whether or not we are still going to praise God and serve him in the midst of the storm. See, every time something goes wrong in our life, we're thinking, well, what did I do wrong? What happened? God told me one time, this was a long time ago, God told me, you're getting ready to go through a whole bunch of mess, but you didn't do anything to warrant that. I just have to have you go through it, so that later on in your ministry, you can minister properly to different people I send your way. And that was a time and season where what I was going through wasn't my fault. Now I'm in a season where I'm going through things that are my fault. All right, so you have to learn the time and season. You know, God's word, you can't just apply for the rest of your life. You know, there's a time and a season for everything God says. All right, so let's look at how God chose Jacob over Esau. In Romans chapter 9, verse 11 and 12, and though the twins were not yet born, now this is Paul writing this was later on, Paul said, and though the twins were not yet born and had not done anything either good or bad, so that God's purpose, his choice, his election would stand, not because of works done by either child, but because of the plan of him who calls them. It was said to her, the older Esau will serve the younger Jacob. See, it wasn't dependent on anything they did. God spoke a word and said, well, I'm going to make it happen this way. Even though that was, back in those times, it was usually the older had the inheritance, had the, you know, the status, but this was opposite. So that was very unorthodox back then. But God did that to fulfill his purpose. It didn't matter what those two did, good, bad, or indifferent. It was the sovereign plan of God. So in Romans, in the next couple of verses, in Romans 9, 15 and 16, it says, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I have compassion." So then God's choice is not dependent on human will, nor on human effort, the totality of human striving, but on God who shows mercy to whomever he chooses. It is his sovereign gift. Now, I'm not going to lie or beat around the bush. There's times I've been upset at how much grace God gives to somebody. You know what I mean? It's like, now, God, come on. They did all this stuff, and then you're letting them get away with it now. You know, and there's a little thing going on there. But if you really look in the mirror, you say, wow, look what you've done for me, God. I'm sure other people's been upset at me being pulled out of some situations. But anyway, so we have to have balance here, you know. Okay, so it is wrong thinking to believe that if we finally get it right and do everything we're supposed to, that we will live perfect, unaffected lives. We have to remove that lie right now, because that's a constant open door for the enemy. It is true that in this condition, in other words, living holy, living right, in that condition, we will live our lives in Christ, having the peace of God and the joy of the Lord within us. But we will still suffer for Christ, although with joy, and we will still face trials and tribulations. We're always going to go through that. But the closer you are to God, the better you can go through it. The point is not that we attain, but rather that we change. We change to be more like the image of Christ and find his peace and comfort as we walk out the destiny God has for us. Paul also responded to the anticipated argument against divine sovereignty. And this is one of those things that, you know, I've read the Bible, but I didn't know this was in here, and it's nice to see it again. In Romans 9:19, Paul says, "You will say to me then, why does he still blame me for sinning? For who, including myself, has ever resisted his will and purpose?" That's sort of a rhetorical argument people throw out. Well, if you're saying, in other words, if you're saying that God is all sovereign, then he made me sin. You know, it was in his will to do it. So I just, you know, I'm at the sovereign mercy of God. Anything I do is not my fault. No. There's a line between God's sovereignty and human responsibility that we're going to get into here. So in other words, doesn't God's sovereignty cancel out human responsibility? But Paul didn't engage in a long philosophical answer. Rather, he reprimanded the skeptic. I like how Paul did this. In Romans 9:20 through 21, he says, "On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers arrogantly back to God and dares to defy him? Will the thing which is formed say to him who formed it, 'Why have you made me like this?' Does the potter not have the right over the clay to make from the same lump of clay one object for honorable use, something beautiful or distinctive, and another for common use, something ordinary or menial?" The Bible makes a distinction between God's sovereignty and human responsibility. Now, that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes, because it's like, God, you know, what are you doing? But God is sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. People are responsible for what they do with the gospel or whatever light that they have. Okay, this is now talking about our human responsibility. We're responsible for what we know of the gospel and whatever light that God has put in us. We have to use that properly. That way, any punishment upon them is just if they neglected it, and the choice to do so was their own free will. The moment we say that something God has done is unfair, we step out of bounds. Now, when you get home, read Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. It's the parable of the workers in the vineyard. I'm very familiar with this scripture, because anytime my kids say, "Well, that's not fair," I said, "Well, let's take a look at what the Bible says about fairness in Matthew chapter 20. See, in real quickly, I'll just explain. This parable is about, there's a master who runs a vineyard, and he says, "I need some workers. I'm going to go out and hire some workers." So he goes to the first guy at the very early hour of the morning. hey, you work for me, and at the end of the day, I'll give you, I'll just say 10, it says a denarius, but I guess in today's, it's like $100. Okay, so you work for me all day long, I'll give you $100. Well, the master keeps going out throughout the day, getting more workers. Well, he finally gets to the last guy when there's only an hour left in the workday. Hey, come work with me for $100. Okay. So when it's time to pay everybody, the first guy who worked all day long in the hot sun threw a fit. Well, that guy only worked for an hour, and he got $100 like I did, but I worked all day. And the master turned around and said, isn't it my vineyard? Didn't you agree to work for me for $100? What's your problem? So that's the truth. I didn't like it either, but that's the truth. I'm almost there. I almost live that scripture. I know it, but I'm almost living it. All right, so perhaps the trials and troubles that we are facing is not because of something we have done, as though we were suffering through a judgment or reaping something that we have sown, but rather you are naturally paying the price for the anointing that you agreed to carry. All right, now we're shifting now into another possibility of why you might be going through some of the things you're going through. And what we said was that you might be going through the price paying of the anointing that you told God you wanted to carry. This is why we have to be careful of how quickly we say, Lord, use me, fill me up to the max. Lord, I'm going to do anything for you. Because there's a price for whatever level that you're asking God to go to. In Luke chapter 14, verse 28, and the context of this scripture is that Jesus is giving a parable. All right, he says, for which one of you, when he wants to build a watchtower for his guards, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to finish it? Now, the next verses basically say the guy starts to build the tower. He realizes he doesn't have enough materials, and everybody laughs at him. They scorn him for doing so. So we don't want to be in that situation. Now it says, we say we want to do a certain thing or become a certain way unto God, but these things have a cost associated with them. You must pay a price for the anointing you are telling God you want to carry, or for the anointing God has ordained you to carry. All too often we forget this, and we look upon our struggles as a punishment, and we might believe the lies of the enemy. And, you know, this kind of makes sense in this season because God is refining us and getting ready to use all of us in a very mighty way. So, of course, now is the time that you're going to be paying that price and then found pure before God so he can send you out and use you. Now, also remember that there are times that we suffer through things as a result of disobedience to God. This is supposed to be an encouraging message, but I just want to put a little part in there that says you might just be going through something because you were disobedient. Right? Yeah, we just have to reflect on ourselves, you know, where we're really at, what are we doing, and God will tell you that. Now, if you ask God for discernment and seek his face for what is happening in your life, he is willing to tell you. We can achieve a relationship status with God where he will tell us everything that is happening in our lives. He'll do that. That's achievable. Considering God's sovereignty, let's look briefly at an excerpt from an article I came across on Charisma News. It's titled, Donald Trump, President of the United States by the Sovereign Intervention of God, written by Michael Brown. Now the article says, consider this post from Pastor Jeremiah Johnson, now just 28 years old. Dating to July of last year. Jeremiah knew very little about Trump when he wrote these words. And then he's quoted as saying, I was in a time of prayer several weeks ago when God began to speak to me concerning the destiny of Donald Trump in America. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Trump shall become my trumpet to the American people, for he possesses qualities that are even hard to find in my people these days. Trump does not fear man, nor will he allow deception and lies to go unnoticed. I'm going to use him to expose darkness and perversion in America like never before. But you must understand that he is like a bull in a china closet. Many will want to throw him away because he will disturb their sense of peace and tranquility. But you must listen through the bantering to discover the truth that I will speak through him. I will use the wealth that I have given him to expose and launch investigations searching for the truth. Just as I raised up Cyrus to fulfill my purposes and plans, so I have raised up Trump to fulfill my purposes and plans prior to the 2016 election. You must listen to the trumpet very closely, for he will sound the alarm, and many will be blessed because of his compassion and mercy. Though many see the outward pride and arrogance, I have given him the tender heart of a father that wants to lend a helping hand to the poor and the needy, to the foreigner and the stranger. So, and that's the end of the article. Now I'm saying, let's learn to not look at things as though they appear according to our own understanding, and rely on God's sovereign hand to guide us into wisdom and truth as we seek his face. Now that's important. God just told me, what, a week and a half ago, or a week ago, I'm still leaning to my own understanding. So that tells me I really need to get in the presence of God more to say, what do you see, God? How do you see this? And realign me to see how you see it. Donald Trump is the man of the hour, and God is going to use him for his plans and purposes. God wanted Donald Trump to be president. Will President-elect Trump make mistakes? Yes. Will he do foolish things from time to time? Yes. Nevertheless, he is ordained by God to be president, and God will use him to restore America. He must be honored as president, prayed for, lifted up before the Lord, and covered. That is our responsibility to do that. It doesn't matter what we think about him. It doesn't matter what other people are saying about him. He's going to be the president. If we have to honor him and keep him covered in prayer. We read the scripture all the time about powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, but we sometimes overlook the part that says thrones and dominions. Okay, those are not spirits in themselves, but they are rather positions. Right? Thrones and dominions exist in the Oval Office. Whoever sits down in that president's chair is automatically going to be bombarded with the powers and principalities. So we have to cover him from that. When he sits down in that presence, the president's chair, that he's filled with the Holy Spirit and guided by the sovereign hand of God. That's our responsibility. We really need to do that. But make no mistake, God is still going to judge America. It is good that God now has a man in office that is going to stand for righteousness. So the recovery of this nation will go by much more quickly. But the sins that have accumulated in this nation and piled themselves into the throne room of God will not be overlooked. This nation will suffer a season of judgment, as God has said, yet the nation will not be destroyed. Now that God has a man in office that he can use and work through, I believe the recovery of this nation will be a merciful recovery. There's a lot of times where right now the enemy is trying to get us off course. He's very, very much trying to discourage us. And it just sort of seems like there's a fog there. And we're not really getting through. We're not really pushing through. We have to rebuke the lies of the enemy. We have to seek God's face all the more. If you persist, God will meet you there. God will show you why things are happening in your life the way that they're happening. Right now, there's just a whole lot of witchcraft, like Katie Souza was just saying. I didn't realize there was even a supermoon going on until I watched the video. So, you know, you perish for lack of knowledge. So here I am. You know, I need to read my emails a little bit more, I think. But anyways, there's a lot going on in the atmosphere. So we just need to pray and persevere and persist through this atmospheric darkness. It might not be anything you've done. You could just be under oppression. So like Katie Souza was saying, let's just pray and bind up the constellations, the planets, and the stars from having any power or influence over us. It will just send angels to those stars, moons, and planets, and forbid any part of them from reaching out or connecting to us or touching us in any way. Those stars and the moons and the planets are our inheritance, so we command them to not operate against us in Jesus' name. So, Father, we truly do thank you, God, for wisdom and insight that you're bringing forth through your people. And we all collectively just agree, Father God, that we're going to hold Donald Trump up before you right now. We cover him in many blankets, dripping, soaking wet blankets of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, God, that your Holy Spirit is inside of him and also upon him, that as he takes seat in that office, he's going to be influenced and controlled only by the Holy Spirit. He's going to be leading, guiding, and directing this nation the way that you want it to be, God, and not any man whispering into his ear, not any demon that oppresses him or attacks or torments him. And Father, we thank you that he is covered in this area. And we just thank you, God, as we rejoiced in the praise and worship earlier. We're rejoicing, God, because you're rejoicing. We're having fun, God, because you're having fun right now. That the man you've chosen to lead this nation back to you is in office, that you've made the way and the path straight before him. And we just thank you, God. We give you all honor and glory for doing this. And we just pray and ask, Father God, that the word here tonight that you came up with, God, would take deep roots in people's hearts. And we just thank you, God, that your anointing that's here right now would touch each and every person here to encourage them, to uplift them. That, God, they're not going through all this hell because they've done anything wrong. That you're not cutting them off and shutting them down or telling them that you're done with them. But rather, God, it's just the demonic in the atmosphere. It's just Satan knowing that very soon you're going to move all of us forward. And we're all going to be unstoppable for your kingdom. And we just thank you, God, that the enemy is raging mad. And he's trying to do anything in his power to stop it. But it's not going to work because of you, God. Because of your word. Because of your wisdom. Because of your anointing. So, Father, we just thank you and give you all honor and glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to walk under God's canopy of his love, his encouragement, his protection, to keep your mind stable, to keep your mind solid and fixed upon him, then come up to the altar and God is going to touch you with his anointing. And throw down all your baggage and all your weight, all the concerns and the frustrations that you have. Give them to God. Tell him, God, I give all this to you. You're sovereign. Nothing can happen in my day unless you put the okay on it. And your word says that you'll never give me more than I can bear. God never leaves or forsakes anybody.